I direct your attention to verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Last week we considered that there are two roads in life, a broad way that leads to destruction and death and judgment, and a narrow way that leads to light and love and eternal forgiveness. This verse teaches us that there are two kingdoms in this life. There is the kingdom of darkness and Satan, and there is the kingdom of light of Jesus Christ. If you're in darkness, you're a slave. There's been much said about slavery over the last few years. You're a slave, or you're free in Jesus Christ. And this morning there is a divide which God presents to us. That this morning you're either a slave, whether you realise it or not, whether you don't even realise that you're restricted in some way, in bondage, you're captured, or you're free. And I hope this morning that God will speak to myself and to you and address this most vital question. Are you a slave this morning? Are you a slave? Or are you free? And particularly, this is shown us in verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And then it speaks in verse 14 about redemption. Redemption was the sum of money paid to release a slave. He speaks about being delivered. So what are we being delivered from? The power of darkness. Well, what is darkness? Well, let's consider what light is in the Bible. We need to look at these two kingdoms. What is darkness? Well, light in the Bible represents truth and purity. Truth and purity. And God is absolute truth and absolute purity and holiness. And love. Darkness is the opposite of that. It is a lie. It is disobedience to God. And we know something of that. But it says that there is this power of darkness, which only Jesus Christ can deliver us from. Not just a darkness, not just a neutrality, and we've lost our way a bit, but a power of darkness. What is this power which you're either being controlled by this morning or you've been delivered from? What is this power? It's of vital importance, this, because if someone remains in the power of darkness, Scripture teaches you will end up being cast into outer darkness. That is why God in his great mercy has brought this message to you and I this morning. In Jeremiah 17 verse 9, we read these words, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" In Romans 8 verse 7 we read this, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." That means against God. That means rejecting, submitting to God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." You see, there is a power of darkness within us, and as we shall see in a short while, a power of darkness without us, within us. To show the power of darkness, we don't have to go too far. All we'd have to do is read through the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. That means to be jealous what other people have. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Christ said if we even have an adulterous thought in our hearts, if a woman has a daydream about a man wishing she was married to him, that's adultery. If a man on a hot summer's day lingers on the figure of an inappropriately dressed woman, that's adultery. If we don't love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, the one who sustains us, who gives us our being, who gives us every good thing, that's a sin. One time it'd be good to preach through the Ten Commandments. If we don't honour our father and our mother, treat them like kings and queens, that's a sin. Whether we sin in our hearts before God who sees all things, or whether we sin outwardly and others see. But we have a heart which, you have to look at your life this morning, which is disobedient, which willingly sins. We're all born with this heart. And again we sin. And perhaps this morning you feel something of the power of that sin. Perhaps you're sitting here and you're ashamed and you feel hopeless. Well, I'm pleased to say in a little while that there is hope for you. But first we must look at the severity and the terrible nature of the problem that faces each one of us. So this heart. But also, it's not just disobedience to God, it's an enmity to God. It's being against God. It's a form of insanity. You might say, what are you talking about, being insane? Well, I'll put it to you like this. Look at how you react to the news of the gospel. The gospel is a warning and good news. Look at how you react to the warning that there is a hell to be faced and there is a judgment. Look at how you react to the good news that you can have eternal life and you can know the love of God through Jesus Christ. And compare it how you react to other things. I'll give you an example. If a man from your bank got in touch with you and said, look, we've been told to tell you that there's a 5% chance that our bank could collapse, but it probably won't, but there's a 5% chance that you might lose your money. What would you do? You would be like the people that were outside Northern Rock in 2008 when they thought they wouldn't get their money and they were queuing up round the block and they were getting their money out. They would not lose their money. They queued for hours. They were desperate not to lose their money. And yet you've been warned this morning by the Lord Gold, you could lose your soul. And you'll just put your head down. Or you'll be a little bit vexed inside. You'll say, I didn't come here to hear that this morning. Look at your reaction. What about if the doctor calls you and said, I think you might be showing symptoms, possibly, we're not sure, of a disease. It might take your life, but there's only a 1% chance. You'll say, oh, doctor, please. Please, get me on the test. Get me scanned. Do the injections. But it's only 1%. I might be the 1%. Look at the reactions. How care we take with COVID. If you're someone, if you get COVID, it could kill you. And yet God says, if you meet me with your sins and disobedience, I'm forgiven. My judgment will and must fall. But look at your heart. I don't want to know about that. I'm going to walk out of here and go shopping. I'm going to go and watch a film. I'm going to think about my holiday. What a depressing message that man's brought to us. Can you see the insanity? Your soul is on the line. Eternity is on the line. This is the very evidence, our reaction to it, of the enmity in our heart. We react to this message like we react to nothing else. Anything else that threatens the things in this life, we will do whatever we can to keep it. But when it comes to the matter of the soul, if you're not born again, if God isn't doing a work in your heart, you'll stick your fingers in your ears and you'll close your eyes. That is the enmity of man. That is the power of darkness. And you cannot deliver yourself from it. You can't think yourself out of this. As we were considering with this morning, you can't come up with some amazing program, some lifestyle to deliver you from the power of darkness which you lie under within your heart. But there's just as even more dreadful power in a way, which is the power which is without each one of us. Listen to these words from Acts 26. You don't need to turn there. Speaking to Jesus Christ, speaking to the apostle Paul before he was his apostle. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. And listen to this. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. From the power of Satan. In 1 John we read this. We know, speaking about those that are in Christ, we know that we are of God. But listen to this, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. In some way, the devil has his hand upon this world. Far, far above him is the almighty hand of God. But the devil has been cast down from heaven. Why was he cast down? Because he looked at God. Do you know, the devil was God's most powerful created being, most wonderful being. He was described as the morning star. He was glorious to behold. But that wasn't enough for him. As he was in heaven with God, he kept looking at God. He kept looking at God's almighty power. He kept looking at how everyone worshipped God. And he thought, I wish that could be me. And he fell, and he led a third of the angels with him. Well, does it say that pride is the deadliest sin, that God hates pride? That was at the seed of destruction and the fall of man. And he came down here and he became the enemy of God. He hates God. He hates God's work, and he's looking to destroy God's work, and he's looking to destroy you and I because we're made in the image of God. And we see that in the world today. There's things that go on and people say, well, why does this happen? Do you know, a man became to believe, I don't know if he had a saving knowledge of Christ, but he changed from being an atheist to believing there must be a God. Lloyd Jones, Dr. Lloyd Jones, a famous preacher of the last century, writes about him. Jay Hoad, his name was, he was a philosopher, because he saw there'd been two world wars inside 25 years. And he thought, that is not just the stupidity and the folly of man. After the First World War, which was known as the Great War, man said, we'll never do this again. And less than 25 years later, man did exactly that. And they realised, there must be a hidden power, this man realised. He said, there must be something more. There is. There's Satan. A lady in my village I live in said to me within the last couple of weeks, I feel so out of touch with society. I don't know where she stands with the Lord, but she said, this teaching about marriage, about boys and girls and them changing themselves, and I just feel so left out because I don't believe it's right. I don't understand what's going on. It's the devil. He has a satanic force in the world. He's looking to damage and destroy everything God does. He hides behind all sorts of movements. Black Lives Matter, in one sense, a righteous cause. We shouldn't oppress people and be nasty to them because of the colour of their skin. But yet behind that movement, one of their other things is they're trying to tear down the family. They don't like the idea of there being a police force. Why? Who's behind that? The devil. Just think anarchy there would be if there were no police. I appreciate the police have been corrupt, that they've behaved inappropriately on occasions. Just think the destruction to the family. They're trying to pass laws in, and they passed it in other countries, forbidding children to speak, forbidding parents to speak to their children who are struggling with this issue of identity and whether they're a boy or a girl, forbidding ministers to pray with them. Such laws have been passed in Australia already. Who's behind it all? The evil one, the devil. If you want to see the power of the devil, read your newspaper. You read the most heartbreaking stories. Cruelty to women, to children. Who's behind it? The devil. And he's in your life and my life. And he's only too willing to egg you on, to destroy yourself, to go further and further into sin. He's described by our Lord Jesus Christ as the strong man. It says this, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. What does that mean? The Lord is saying that there's a strong man. That's the devil. The world is his palace. And he keeps those before Christ rescues him in peace. They're in peace. They're not with God. They're in peace. They're not giving the devil any bother. And the devil gives them whatever they need. There's a hint of this in the parable of the sower. They start to listen to the message of the gospel. May you be preserved from this morning. The Lord speaks to them. The devil comes in immediately. Perhaps he's doing this to you now and says, you don't want to think about that. And he plucks it from their very mind and puts a thought about tomorrow's washing or a holiday or a TV program. Some begin to respond, begin to go towards Christ. The thought that Christ would forgive them. What does he do? He sends some persecution their way and says, if you follow Christ, just think of the hatred, the scorn, what you'll lose. And they give up. Others, that doesn't work. They think, oh, I need the Saviour. I must find him. is far more subtle. He brings in things to distract them. He gives them money. He gives them pleasure. He sends them on chasing after things that will only matter in this life, but not after we die. But we thank God that there are some that the good seed is planted in, the indestructible eternal seed. Perhaps this morning you feel something of that power in your life. You feel wretched this morning. You say, I've tried to clean myself up. I've tried to give up these awful habits. And I can't. Or perhaps you say this, well, on the outside people think I'm good. But inside I find God's commands so burdensome. They just weigh down on me. I don't really want to keep them. But I think I must do to try and get to heaven. And Christ has hope for you. Can you see the danger you're in this morning? Can you see that you cannot escape this yourself? You're under the hand of the strong man in the palace of this world. The whole world lies under his sway. Well, I'm so pleased that Christ gives us hope. That the next verse of the parable of the strong man reads this, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armour in which he trusted and divides his spoils. This is a reference to Christ that comes in and plunders from the devil people to himself. Well, let's consider this other kingdom, this far greater kingdom. You see, one day the kingdom of darkness will come to an end. Scripture teaches that the evil one will be cast into the lake of fire and all the angels. But all those that have rejected God and his authority over them and not truly sought his forgiveness and been born again will face an eternal judgment. But that kingdom will come to an end. This small, fragile kingdom here on earth, the few that find the narrow path, one day Christ says, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be deceived by appearances. The devil says to some of you this morning, that can't be true. There's so few people are Christians. Christ says, don't listen to him. He's a liar. He's a liar. Listen to Christ, who is the truth. Let's consider this kingdom. It's beautifully described in verse 12, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light of God's love and truth and holiness, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Jesus Christ. But how can we enter this kingdom? That word, redemption. That was applied to those that were literally enslaved in physical terms. Their life wasn't their own. They had no hope of ever being released from slavery until someone came along and paid the slave master a debt, the debt that was owed to them. And then they were free. Some people went into slavery voluntarily. They had no money and said, I'll be your slave. And someone would take pity upon them and say, look, I don't need to be in that life. I'll pay your master. Redemption. Now, some people have erroneously, wrongly preached that the devil has some called a ransom paid, and that's a wicked falsehood. The debt, the ransom, what we need redeeming from is all due to God. Now, there are two things which we need redeeming from. One is the debt we owe God. You say, what debt do we owe God? He has his perfect law. We had a glimpse of God's greatness in the psalm we read. And we've disobeyed. We've trampled all over his commands every day of the week. And judgment awaits. We have this debt. It hangs over us. And we can't get rid of it ourselves. But this is the love of God. That to people such as myself and you, that have been Satan's playthings in thought and word and deed, and have racked up this horrible debt of disobedience, which God will surely judge, he sends his Son. And Christ came. He walked this earth and lived the perfect life. But as he hung on the cross, He paid the debt. He took the punishment for all those that would seek forgiveness from him. Just think about that. The love of God to do that. I would preserve my children as much as lay in my power from such harm. And God has loved this world so much. This morning, do you see the love of God? He was willing to inflict his son to spare you the judgment which you've stirred up against yourself, if you will but come to his son. And in the cross, God paid it freely. Christ paid the debt freely and fully. And not just of the sins that you've committed to the point you go to Christ. This is the wonderful, the sin you'll ever commit. That is an amazing thought. What love Christ had to do that for you and I. Are you troubled with your debt this morning? Oh, the Saviour bids you come. Do you ever look at the Gospels and see the gentleness of Christ? How he went to people utterly broken in sin? The wonderful picture of the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. There stands the Creator of the world. And he says, I don't condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. Do you realize the love of God? The act of forgiveness, our horrible, hideous act of sin. Though our sins are as scarlet. Some of the sins that are forgiven by God. Horrendous sins, which we would never forgive someone. And God says this morning, if you will turn back, if you will go to my son, there is full forgiveness. There is mercy from the judgment that hangs over you. But my friends, that is only half the gospel. Because we need deliverance from our very nature. Our hearts are deceitful and wicked. We are prone to sin. We love to sin before we know Christ. And Christ said he's come to give us life. He says in Corinthians, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We read about in Colossians, verse 16, for by him, that's by Christ, all things were created. This is the wonder of the gospel. This is why it makes me so sad when, if you're here this morning, you think being a Christian is joining a little club that have this little belief in God. It's coming from death to life. The person that flings himself upon Christ, that says, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, that believes in Jesus' wonderful, beautiful promises of forgiveness. Christ reaches down, he plucks you from the kingdom of the evil one, but then he creates life in you. He gives you a new nature. And this nature wants to serve him. This nature wants to love God. This nature wants to read God's word. This nature wants to meet God's people. This nature, in its purest form, wants to put Jesus first. You can't get that nature yourself. Some of you here may have been labouring for years to try and please God. And all you've got a sense of is the impossibility of the task. You say, where is that joy I see in these other Christians? Where is that peace? It's because you've not been born again. Oh, you need to go to Jesus and he'll give you a new nature. You're a new creation. He gives you eternal life. Do you know when Jesus deals with a man, a boy, a woman, a girl, he gives a life that can never be destroyed. Yes, the devil will do his utmost to destroy it, but it's eternal life. The smallest grain of true faith, the soul in all their complexities of their misery, their hardness that casts themselves upon Jesus Christ, they're saved forever. He says, they're in my hand. They're in my Father's hand and none is greater. You can't be snatched out of them. Oh, do you see your need? Is your case desperate this morning? Is it needy? Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He directs his ministers to lift himself up as the brazen serpent in the wilderness. Put a gaze to him of true faith and you're saved. Oh, what a beautiful scripture this is to look at this morning. And you know, the end of that is an inheritance. An inheritance is something you receive later, isn't it? Oh, for all those that have trusted in Christ, all those that he's drawn them to himself, there's a beautiful inheritance. In Revelation, it says about this, God's kingdom, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In heaven, there's no sun, children. There's no moon because there's no night. But there's the light of God on the new heavens and the new earth. We see him in his fullness. We know something of what it is to be perfect before him and serve him forever. Where do you stand this morning? Are you still a slave to sin? With an evil master, Satan, that wants to destroy you? Do you know he can appear as an angel of light? I listened to a testimony of a lady that got into meditation. And she got more and more meditative, and she was feeling this peace and this peace and this peace. And then she began to wonder if there was more. And she heard about people having these out-of-body experiences. So she persisted in meditation. And one day she found herself in her spirit looking down on her body. And then she wasn't sure if she could get back. And then when she did get back, she heard these voices in her mind saying, ah, we've tricked you. You fell for it. Numerous testimonies. People that got into crystals. And they found this strange power from the crystals. And then one day, one man, God showed him the power behind the crystals. A snarling face of a demon. Some people experience such things. As Reformed Christians, don't be shy away from the fact there's an evil darkness out there and it can go manifest itself in certain ways. The devil will do anything to destroy you, to harm you. Oh, come to Jesus Christ this morning. What a wonderful thing it is that God says to you this morning, whatever you've done, however deeply stained your life is with sin, I'll forgive you. That my son has taken it all away for those that come to him. A full and free forgiveness. Christians, do you see what a wonderful thing it is to have been delivered from the power of darkness? Do you remember those days when Satan spurred us on to sin again and again? When we thought we were done for, we tried to seek the Lord and it seemed so hard. And Satan kept putting the things of this world in our mind. But the patience of Christ, the long suffering of Christ, now he gently spoke to us again and again and again. Or if you're a seeker this morning, don't stop until you find him. Christ has said that if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. And it may well be there's some of you this morning, you're seeking God and God is testing that resolve. Skin for skin. A man will give anything for his life, the evil one said. Well, we turn that around. You would preserve your life, wouldn't you, if you were in great danger? If you had to run or swim or do whatever, jump from a height to preserve your life? Well, for your soul, don't give up looking for Christ. He does the work in you, but he tests it. He tests to see if you want him more than anything. If when you find him, if you seek him, you'll find him to be a most gentle, lowly, glorious, holy master.